as Prabhuji was explaining, Sanskrit is a language within which all of the world's languages have been based on. Even English. For example, you will find that nowadays, the person who is married as the man in the home is called in English, husband. Now you'll be surprised to know that this word husband has been in practice for millions of years. Millions of years. In fact, in every Vedic marriage ceremony, the moment the Pani Grahan is done, where the bride takes the hand of the husband, that is in Sanskrit called Hastabandhan. Hasta means hand, and bandhan means to tie. So he who took the hand of the bride is the Hastabandhani. And that word later on became known in English as husband. So in this way you'll find on how Sanskrit is a language which is actually home to many of us, but due to a lack of practice, we may consider it to be somewhat alien. So let's start today's discourse by all joining in, word for word, with the following verse. So we are reading from chapter 16, text number 24. Please repeat after me. Tasmāc śāstraṁ pramānam te kārya akārya vyavasthithau jñātvā śāstra vidhānoktam karma kartum ihārhasi. Thank you. And the translation by Srila Prabhupada is, one should therefore understand what is duty and what is not duty by the regulations of the scriptures. Knowing such rules and regulations, one should act so that he or she may gradually be elevated. I'll just read a few lines from the purport, the commentary that Srila Prabhupada has given for this verse. Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavad Gita, as stated in the 15th chapter, all the rules and regulations of the Vedas are meant for knowing Krishna. If one understands Krishna from the Bhagavad Gita and becomes situated in Krishna consciousness, engaging himself in devotional service, he has reached the highest perfection of knowledge offered by the Vedic literatures. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made this process very easy. He asked people simply to chant the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, and to engage in the devotional service of the Lord and eat the remnants of foodstuff offered to the deity, which you shall all be doing at 145. One who is directly engaged in all these devotional activities is to be understood as having studied all Vedic literature. He has come to the conclusion perfectly. Of course, for the ordinary person who are not in Krishna consciousness or who are not engaged in devotional service, what is to be done and what is not to be done must be decided by the injunctions of the scriptures, the Vedas. One should act accordingly without argument. That is called following the principles of Shastra or scripture. Shastra is without the four principal defects that are visible in the conditioned soul, imperfect senses, the propensity for cheating, certainty of committing mistakes, and certainty of being illusioned. These four principal defects in conditioned life disqualify one from putting forth rules and regulations. Therefore, the rules and regulations are described in the Shastra. Being above these defects are accepted without alteration by all great saints, acharyas, and great souls. So this was just an excerpt of the purport. So in here, Srila Prabhupada, he is discussing the importance of following rules and regulations. Now many people, sometimes they're anti-rules and regulations. They say, why do I need to follow a certain lifestyle, a certain culture, a certain way of doing things? Why do I have to bow down every time I come into the temple room? Especially if I'm transferring prasad. What is the need of doing such activities? But then you find that in the Shastra, there are reasons for every type of activity which the Lord has dictated for the well-being of society at large. And in doing so, Lord Shri Krishna, personally, before it is stated in the Vedas, before the clouds issued forth rain, before vegetation, before the seed was laid in the earth, Lord Sri Krishna, he spoke these instructions for the future. And in these instructions are encrypted the secret of success. In this life, dharma artha, it is said that one needs to become successful materially and spiritually. But material success is not dependent upon our own endeavors. Krishna Bhagavan explains in the Gita very, very clearly that if one wants to become successful in this world, one has to be dependent upon my mercy. Krishna Bhagavan shares these words by saying, Shabde ke paurusham nrishu, that the ability in man, in woman, the ability in every living entity comes from Krishna. So what does this mean? Every time you wish to open your eyes, every time you wish to blink, every time your lungs decide to take in air and give out air, every time your heart decides to pump blood around the body, that is personally sanctioned by God. The very essence of life, oxygen, is stated in the Ayurveda, the medical science, as being potent only because every molecule of oxygen, first of all, goes and touches the feet of Lord Vishnu, lying in the ocean of milk at the bottom of this universe. That molecule that has touched the feet of Lord Vishnu becomes potent, and that molecule then comes into the various planetary systems, and a human being therefore breathes that molecule. Therefore, air is known as Vishnupad Amritam. Vishnupad Amritam, that nectar-giving life which has touched the feet of Lord Vishnu, that is what sustains us every day of our lives. That is how we actually live. Yeah. So in this way, you'll find that Lord Sri Krishna, he has already set into place every activity in this world by which we can gain success, both in this life and in the next. However, you find that when one decides to somehow or another go against the wishes of Sri Krishna Bhagavan, then that person only meets in misery. And interestingly, you may have heard the latest parliamentary discussion by David Cameron, maybe you've heard on Friday. It's amazing how over the past few days, or maybe the past few recent months, even ministers and prime ministers and heads of state and presidents, they are only gaining popularity whenever they decide to share words that are documented by Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Who else can say that the state is the servant, not the master? Bhagavad Gita. Who else can say that success depends upon a divine energy, not one's own activities? Who else can say that a person who is successful is to be awarded, but a person who is a failure is to be loved? David Cameron? No. He obviously got this from somewhere. You find that the President of America, who has now been given the award for the Nobel Peace Prize, in just being a few months in office, what was his very first words? This is not mine. This is the victory, the prize of the country. Such words, when the public, general public, hear these principles, they think, wow, this is amazing. What a president. What a prime minister. What a minister. And why do they find these words attractive? Because these words origin in the all-attractive person, Krishna Bhagavan. And whenever a person decides to repeat what Krishna says, whenever a person decides to follow what Sri Krishna says, you will find that person is worshipped by the entire world. Therefore, the Shubhashita, the Mahabharata, the greatest poem, the largest poem ever written in the face of history, 5,000 years ago, in a Mahabharata, it is said, Swadeshe Pujyate Raja Vidwan Sarvatra Pujyate. A king is only worshipped at home. But outside, nobody respects the king. But a learned scholar, a devotee of Sri Krishna, Sarvan, everywhere he goes, he is honored. Therefore, it is stated that knowledge is supreme. And knowledge which is in pursuance of Sri Krishna's teachings reigns always supreme wherever that person goes. Kala Kramenacha, knowledge comes in four forms. Acharyam Padamadatte, from the Guru, one fourth. Padam Shishya Samedhaya, second fourth, from colleagues. Kalakramena cha, and time. Sri Krishna, he personally comes in the form of time to give us experience. And therefore you find that Sri Krishna has devised his entire world only for our benefit. As you know, this month is the month of Kartik. Kartik is said to be astronomically superior than any other month out of the entire year. Now in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna Bhagavan explains, Masana Marga Shirshoham, that in fact, the month of mid-December to mid-January represents Sri Krishna Bhagavan. And the reason for that is because in the Vedic calendar, Marga Shirsh, the head of the path of the year, begins in mid-December. And therefore that represents Sri Krishna Bhagavan. However, Kartik is said to be the most spiritually potent. The month of Kartik began on the first day of the lunar month, which was about a week ago. And it continues for the next 3 weeks. This month of Kartik is not only celebrated amongst Vedic, Krishna or Hindu followers, but you find even in Islam, even after following an entire month of Ramadan, there are 6 optional fasts which can be performed during the month of Kartik. So you find that even in other religions, they see the importance of this month coming. And in this month, the most important activity is to somehow or another inspire ourselves to perform some extra devotional service to Sri Krishna Bhagavan. And most importantly, you find that the offering of a lamp, offering of a diva. Therefore, in the Amavasya night of the month of Kartik, we celebrate Deepavali, Diwali, the homecoming of Lord Ramchandra. The pastimes of Lord Ramchandra are extremely relevant for this day and age. For the next, I've got another 15 minutes, I would like to share some pastimes of the Ramayana, by which we can also understand the importance of following Dharma. We have all heard of Ramachitramanas. Ramachitramanas is the retelling of Lord Ramchandra's stories in Hindi, which was written by Tulsidas about 150 years ago. This Ramachitramanas has become very, very popular throughout society. However, there is another text which predates Ramachitramanas, and this is called the Valmiki Ramayana. The Valmiki Ramayana was written about 1.3 million years ago. And this Valmiki Ramayana was in fact compiled during the time of Lord Ramchandra. The Valmiki Ramayana was compiled in such a way that each and every person may benefit from the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra. There is another book, which is called the Adhyatma Ramayana. This Adhyatma Ramayana was in fact compiled by Krishna himself in the form of Vyas. In the same way that Vyasadev gave the Bhagavad Gita, the Mahabharata and the Puranas, within the Brahmanda Puran, Vyasadev gave a chapter called the Adhyatma Ramayana, which means the spiritual imports of the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra. Interestingly, the entire Ramayana, the entire scripture of Lord Ramchandra begins with the killing of a bird. Is everybody aware of this? That the entire Ramayana was initiated by the killing of a bird. This illustrates the importance of equality between man and woman, as well as the world around us, animals. Valmiki, once upon a time, he entered the river Sarayu for his morning Sandhya Vandanam, for his morning bath. The moment he was offering his prayers into the sacred river Sarayu, he saw a hunter. This hunter, this Nishad, he was doing his occupational duty and hunting around. And while hunting around, his arrow pierced one bird out of two who were having some affectionate exchanges upon a tree. As soon as Valmiki saw this incident, he cried the following verse: Ma nishat patishthat pamagama shashvati sama yat kronch mitunarekam avadika mohitam. O Nishad, what have you just done? You have murdered the partner of another living entity out of your lust. And for doing so, Ma nishat patishthat pamagama shashvati sama, your death is very, very short. Your death will come at any moment. In this verse, Valmiki explains that as one commits any sinful activity, one's lifespan diminishes. If you go to an astrologer or some Jyotish and they tell you you will live for 100 years or 70 years, you can actually change that. Not for the better, but for the worse. By committing sinful activities, even one's life duration decreases. And sometimes you find the question is, why are people who are extremely non-religious? Why are people who have no faith in God? Why are people who are against God seemingly living so happily, so rich, so opulently? According to the scriptures, that is the quickest way to hell. Shorten one's lifespan by giving them all of their achievements in a short lifespan, in a short time frame, and thereby send them on their next life. ASAPPPPP. So you find sometimes that even wealth, etc., and the externalities of this world are not an indication of one's success in life. Following from this story, this killing of one bird out of two, commentators of Pandit Ramayana describe this to be Ravan and Sita and Lord Ram. Ravan's only mistake in life was that he broke one of the greatest principles in this world. And you would not believe what this greatest principle is. This is external from the regular devotion to the Lord. It is said in Dharma Shastras that if one requires to be successful in this world, one literally only has to honor woman. If the women of society are honored and respected, then that person will never receive any type of untimely death or any type of great karmic reaction. This is described in the Dharma Shastras. Yatra naryastu pujyante. Actually, I can see many of the women being very happy to hear this. So let's get the men recite this with me. So gentlemen, please recite with me, and the women can recite this as well. Yatra, a bit louder. Yatra naryastu pujyante ramanti sarva devataha. The translation of this is, where women in society are honored, and the word puja is used, and I'm sure you know what the word puja means, worshipped, in such a family, in such a union, in such a society, such people gain all victory, materially and spiritually. The entire assembly of the demigods, Lakshmi, Kuber, they all come and take residence in that home and that relationship and that life. However, where women are disrespected, that person, that community, that society meets with devastation. Ravan's only fault in life was he committed this atrocity. He decided, as you all know, to separate Sita from Ram. Unfortunately, that was the supreme mother from the supreme father. A very bad choice for Ravan to exercise his lust on. And when Ravan committed this abominable activity, as you know, the entire pastimes of Diwali and the Ramayana issued forth in Lord Ramchandra being exiled to the forest, Vanavas, him living like a mendicant for just about 13 years, Ravan coming in the disguise of a saint to trick Sita in giving alms, by which he then abducted her, kidnapped her, and took her to Sri Lanka. An interesting story which I would like to share with you is the Yudhakhand. Now, how many of you have read Ramayana or watched Ramayana? Please raise your hands. Okay, so majority of people. Now, you may remember the time when Lord Ramchandra was in battle with Ravan. This was after the defeat of Indrajit, Meghnad, after the defeat of Kumbhakarna. Literally at this point, only Ravan was surviving. Maybe one or two other foot soldiers of Ravan were also surviving, his Angarakshaks, his personal bodyguards. But apart from that, the entire assembly of warriors of Lanka were all destroyed. One time, when Ravan came out of Lanka, Nagari, he came out onto the Yadubhumi, to the battlefield to fight Lord Ramchandra. Lord Ramchandra desired to end the war on that particular note. In the Ramayana, he decided to pierce the heart of Ravan with 10 arrows. The moment Ravan received these 10 arrows in his chest, he realized that his end is very, very near. At that point, even Ravan, a person full of entire sin, the personification of lust, even he decided to take the religious path. Ravan, he began to regret everything he has been doing for the past hundreds and hundreds of years. At that time, the lifespan was much longer than our lifespan. And while regretting his faults committed to Sita, while regretting his activities committed to the entire demigods, because Ravan not only kidnapped Sita, but Ravan had in fact kidnapped nearly every wife of the demigods, the devatas. And he had the devatas in the kitchen making his prasad. You know, Kuber, Indra, they were making his prasad every day. They were his maharajas. You call maharajas, yeah? Your cooks. Ravan had the devatas as his cooks. He had Kuber cleaning the floor. Kuber is the treasurer of the entire world. And he had his wives encaged in the prison house of Lanka. Ravan began to regret all of his activities, and while doing so, he decided to turn to his guru. Ravan's guru's name was, anybody knows? Shukracharya. Shukracharya, which also happens to be the day of Friday. Friday is dedicated to Shukra, Shukracharya. Shukracharya was seated in meditation, and Ravan decided, let me go and ask my guru, how can I win this war? How can I put an end to the suffering that I am about to witness, my own death? He went to Shukracharya and said, Shukracharya, my dear Gurudev, how is it possible that in your presence I have been completely nullified? My entire family has been destroyed. My sons, my brother, one of them has deflected upon the opposition, Vibhishan. Kumbhakarna, my dearest soul, has departed. I have nothing left. How has this been possible while in your presence? Shukracharya reminded him of the rules and regulations of Lord Sri Krishna Bhagavan. In fact, in the Ramayana, whenever prayers are offered to God, they are offered to God in the form of Lord Sri Krishna. You will find that in the Sanskrit text of the Ramayana. Even amongst Vishnu as well, you find Krishna is worshipped in the Ramayana as God, and Lord Ramchandra being his avatar. So while doing so, Shukracharya explained that there is only one way, Ravan, there is only one way that you can gain victory over Lord Ramchandra. And while doing so, eradicate your karma or two. Perform a fire sacrifice. Perform a homa. And in this homa, if you are able to perform this havan without any disturbance, you shall receive from the Agni Kund, from the sacred blazing fire, a chariot, a bow, a quiver, and horses, by which you will become Ajay, invincible, undefeatable. And if you complete this havan without disturbance, you will win over Lord Ramchandra. You will keep Sita, and you will conquer this entire world. Ravan, who was very eager to achieve success, he immediately begged for the mantras of this yajna. Shukracharya sat down in meditation, and through meditation, Shukracharya, he transferred all of these sacred mantras for the Ajaya Homa. Ravana was told once again by his guru, ensure that this Homa is not done with other people around. Ensure there is no disturbance in this Homa. And if you ensure this, you shall be Ajaya, invincible. In doing so, Ravan at once, he digged a huge cave, a huge chamber that is said to have reached the netherworlds, the bottom of this earth, Patal. Such was this chamber that Ravana had personally dug. At the bottom of this chamber, immediately, Ravan, he got together his tandila, he got together his bricks, made his havan kund, his ghee, his sacrificial wood, and he sat down immediately in meditation, and while doing so, he began to offer these prayers of the Ajaya Havan, the Ajaya Homa, by which he will become invincible. Now, unfortunately with havans, you can smell them from a distance. The smoke alarm goes off. people start to smell and see the flames. And yatado mitata agnihi. As soon as this fire sacrifice began, Vibhishan, who was always the guider of Lord Ramchandra, he immediately saw in the sky the flames and the smoke coming from this heaven. Now Vibhishan, because he also had the same guru, Shukracharya, he recognized these flames. He said, Lord Ramchandra, these flames are for the Ajaya Homa. If Ravan is able to complete the Ajaya Homa, you will be defeated. Not only defeated, you will be annihilated. There will be no return to Ayodhya. There will be no Diwali. There will be no Mithai. There will be no Divas. Lord Ramchandra, being God himself, he reminded Vibhishan that because I am situated in the sacrificial fire, if one worships me purely, without offense, following all the rules and regulations of the Shastras, that person shall gain the result. So in fact, Vibhishan, it is in your interests. It is in your interest to follow Dharma that I am given the opportunity to go and disturb the sacrificial offerings of Ravan. In the very same way, Lord Shri Krishna reminded Arjun that this Mahabharata war has already been won by me. It has already been orchestrated by me. You just become nimitta matram bhava savya sachin. You just become an instrument in the victory. And by doing so, you become glorified and my devotional service shall be renowned and well known throughout the entire world. The victory of God is through the victory of his servants. And that is Sri Krishna Bhagavan. So Lord Ramchandra, he gave Vibhishan this instruction. Vibhishan immediately told Angad and Hanuman, Angad Hanuman, you go and you find this Havankund, which is situated somewhere in Lanka. Now while doing so, as we said earlier, in Vedic times, especially in devotional families, every success, there's always some woman involved. And also in every great atrocity, there is also some woman involved. Ramayana Mahabharata occurred because of the atrocities towards womanhood, the energy of God. Sita in Ramayana and Draupadi in Mahabharata. To find this Havankund by which they can disturb this Havan of Ravan, the wife of Vibhishan, she used Prashna Shastra. She used astrology to work out exactly where this gufa, where this cave has been dug by Ravan in Lanka. Vibhishan's wife informed Vibhishan of the exact spot where he can find this Havankund. Angad Hanuman found that very spot. While walking through this chamber, they came across many, many bodyguards which they had to massacre. And at the end of this chamber, they came across a huge, gigantic stone door. Now this stone door was not possible to be crushed by any weapon. It is said that only the person who is barefooted and upon whose foot Ravan has personally bowed down to, only that foot can break this stone door. Now who would Ravan bow to? Ravan is the person who kidnapped the wife of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Who did Ravan bow down to? Do any guesses here? Who did Ravan bow down to? Angad. Angad, a 15-year-old Vanara. As you know, when Angad went into the palace of Lanka as the Shanti Dud, as the giver of peace, the messenger of peace, he compelled Ravan to come down and move his foot. He was saying, if anybody can remove my foot, then I guarantee you that Lord Ramchandra will come and simply give you Sita. He will give you Ayodhya. He will give his bow, he will give his arrow, and he will leave this world. Such is the strength and conviction of his devotees. You fool, how do you even believe that you could conquer Lord Ramchandra? Meghanath came, tried to move the foot. So many ministers came, tried to move the foot. Rahu came, Ketu came, and when Ravana was about to come, he had just bowed down. Angad said, you cannot touch my feet. You can only touch the feet of Lord Ramchandra. So in this way, Angad tricked Ravan to bow down. So Angad, with one hit of his right foot, he crushed this door, this stone door. And while doing so, they saw Ravan in beautiful, blissful meditation, glowing like a thousand suns. In his hand was a sacrificial ladder by which he would be offering oblations. And while doing so, Hanuman, Angad immediately began to get rid of all of the samagri. the grains, the herbs, the camphor, the wood, they started to throw it in all directions to disturb this sacrifice. But Ravan, dedicated to achieving liberation, dedicated to achieving success in this war, he remained in meditation while offering his prayers into the sacrificial fire. Now Hanuman saw this person is not going to be disturbed. So Varnas, monkeys, they think a bit differently to humans. They're not so dignified. So Hanuman, he immediately went up to Ravan. He forced the sacrificial ladle out of Ravan's hand, the ghee spoon, and he started to beat. He started to beat Ravan with his very own shruva, with his very own sacrificial spoon. Still, no movement. The remaining monkeys came. They started to bite, pull the hairs of Ravan, bite him on his arms, bite him on his fingers, tickle his feet. They were tickling the feet of Ravan, trying to get him to stop this havan. No movement. The final plan was to bring his wife in front of him and create a disturbance. Angad, he went into the inner chambers. He dragged Mandodari in the very same way that Dushasan dragged Draupadi. He dragged Mandodari and brought Mandodari in front of Ravan. Ravan still sought in meditation, fixed in meditation. At that point, in order to ensure that Lord Ramchandra is victorious, Angad, he grabbed the coat of Mandodari and ripped it to pieces. Ravan could hear the gems falling onto the floor. He knew something was going on. And unfortunately, while grabbing the cloak of Mandodari, her kamarband, her waist belt, which is about to, which is the only remaining item that would keep her, her dignity intact, collapsed. So what happened? Her lower cloth fell off. Mandodari started to scream and shout, Ravan, do you know what's happening? Your wife is being disrobed and you are just fixed the meditation to achieve victory by performing this havan? Come and protect me. Ravan had no choice. His wife was being disrobed. He had to break meditation. At that point, Ravan woke up, grabbed his sword, cut the waist of Angad and said, hands off, my wife. At that point, Ravan's havan was disturbed. He was not ever to become invincible. The monkeys fled. Ravan came out knowing that he would be defeated. And he actually offered a prayer to Lord Shri Krishna. He said, Lord Ramchandra, I know you to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this month of Kartik, I offer you a diva. I pray that in this war, I gain your lotus feet. Because Ravan, he had come to understand that even though every effort of dharma and lust was all to be perished in the face of Lord Ramchandra, it is better to just surrender. In this meditation, Ravan came out, tried his best to entertain, not fight, but entertain Lord Ramchandra, and ultimately, he was defeated. Ramachandra Bhagwan ki jai. And in this way, Ravan gained defeat of Lord Shri Krishna, and left a message for all of us, that in this month of surrender, if one gives up all hopes, and even dharmic hopes of trying to become successful in this world, and simply takes the shelter of Lord Shri Krishna, one can attain his very lotus feet. In the very same way that even an evil demon bent just like Ravan was able to come to that final state of Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. I hope you all enjoyed this small Ramakatha from the Adhyatma Ramayana. And we now have prasad being served. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.